Yo. Yeah, what up, Kev?
What's up? What up?
You awake? You all right? You good, man?
I'm so tired.
What you been doing, man? You been out there, you know, part of the Hella Firecrackers crew outside, or what you been up to, man?
Yeah, I was afraid that the house was going to catch on fire last night.
Dude, you and every other person in Southern California, and I'm sure other parts of the nation. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Well, I feel like New York's been like this for like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yo, but okay, but see, let me throw this out there. I think I've said this on the show. Dude, our neighborhood has been like this since March.
You did. Yeah.
It's crazy. But, you know, people haven't had, I guess on the 4th of July, at least, you know, you couldn't go anywhere to watch fireworks, at least not locally, at least not around here. So,
right.
Everybody was like, well, we got to do it at home. But, I mean, there were more illegal fireworks than I've ever seen in my life. And get busy, I guess. But, whoa, I was nervous.
Yeah, wifey swore, though, that this was like a organized, like a show, you know. I was like, but where are they going to do it? Nobody can get together to go watch it. It's
right,
like, it's not.
Right.
And then it just kept going on and on and on. She's like, it wouldn't go on this long if it wasn't an organized event. I was like, it's not. People are crazy.
Dude. Yeah.
I opened the door to the house and she's like, do you still smell like barbecue? Because I had already taken a shower, right?
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's just outside.
That's the world. That is the best. What's happening? I went running this morning. I went up to it's a local area called Shabaram, and it's trails or whatever. Sometimes, mm-hmm. or most times, I'll just run the neighborhood. I'll run my little 6 miles, and I'll run, you know, sidewalk or whatever. But I looked outside in the morning, and it was so smoky. I was like, dude, I can't run. I just can't run in this. So I went up to the hills, and it was still smoky. Like, it was still, I couldn't even finish my run. It was, like, too much. So it was wild. Real quick, man, shout out to my mom and dad. Thank you guys for watching the show. My dad gave me some advice, Kev. Or actually, it wasn't really advice per se. He just noticed something. Okay?
Constructive feedback?
Constructive feedback. Or just, you know, note. He asked me why I drink so much on camera. So,
what was your response?
Well, my initial thing was I thought he meant drinking alcohol. Like, why are you drinking alcohol so much on camera, right?
Right.
Which, you know, as a 44-year-old male, I was like, well, I like beer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what to say, but... With all that being said, no, he was saying that the act of drinking, I'm actually drinking, you know, whether it's water or whatever, too much. So now I don't have anything to drink around me because I'm so self-conscious about it. So thanks, Dad. I appreciate that. And Mom, because Mom chimed in the background. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Do you feel parched?
Well, we'll see. If my voice goes out during this, just remember that my dad said that I shouldn't be drinking. Let me turn the microphone
on. Sounds like...
Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Sounds like you're full of excuses there, buddy.
Well, that is true. That is true, too, depending upon the situation. So, opening question.
Especially with all the, especially with all the smoke in the air.
Full of CO2. Opening question.
Okay.
All right. Do I drink more than you on camera, Kev? Because I feel like you drink as much as I do. Wait a minute. Why are you getting away with it?
I think I just got a pass. I got lucky.
I need...
Perhaps you're being profiled.
I am being profiled by my father. I need, you know, very fair-skinned man. I need Mr. Sakota to watch this, and I need his notes.
Are you kidding me? Like, how do I turn this thing on?
You think I didn't have to do the full walkthrough? Like, okay, this is how that is what COVID
has changed. Your parents are clearly technologically superior. let's keep it very honest here.
We may be able to argue that. However, the one thing that COVID has changed is I used to be able to just pull up to my parents' house and be like, all right, this is how it works. Now I have to troubleshoot over the phone, and yeah, that is definitely less fun. But anyhow, we got a fun-filled show for y'all. Is it fun? Yeah, it doesn't sound like it'll be that fun, but it'll be fun for us. So kick it with us.
I'm going to be drinking.
And I'm not. Kev, you ready?
Yep.
All right, we'll see y'all on the other side. Let's go.
Let's go.
Rap Sucks Radio. Blah, 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 blah. What up, y'all? You alive on Rap Sucks Radio with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam, Kev Sakota.
What up?
Yo, I forgot, Kev. I forgot to give you props on the intro for the show, or the break
what
for the
intro?
Show. The break for the show that you created. Well, the intro and the break that you did. And that was dope. So when you see the video effects that were done, that was all Kev, man. Kev hooked that up. That was dope. If you're watching it on BTSN.
Stolen by me.
So thank y'all for tuning in to Rap Sucks Radio. If you would want to hear any past episodes, you can catch us on rapsucksradio.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms, with the random exception of Pandora for some odd reason. And if you would like to see us, you can actually watch us live. Nah, it's not live, it's pre-recorded, but you could watch us on BTSN Pass. That is a channel that you can download on your Roku or your Amazon Fire Stick or Fire TV. Download it, turn it on, and we should be right there in the front. Rap Sucks Radio. You can watch me and Kev Sakota react to the conversation. Mm-hmm.
And there, the funny thing is that my daughter asked me, she saw the intro, and she asked me, why are you making that weird face? I said, I don't know.
He's like, that's
fair question. I don't know.
So it's my face, sure. Actually. I was just... looking,
yeah.
So you can catch us for those type of comments and compliments. You can catch us, or if you're worried about how often we're drinking, you can catch us on BTSN Pass. Once again, download that on your Roku or your Fire Stick or Fire TV. Go on, click on to that, and look for Rap Sucks Radio, and we on your dial. So let's do it.
That's right.
So let's jump into doing too much, Kev.
All right. Who is doing too much?
Your boy Alex Villanueva of the LA County Sheriff Department.
Yeah.
The title of this is Extortion, EX, Torsion. Got it. The sheriff warned LA County cuts will eliminate the sexual assault investigations unit. I have actually sourced this from two different sources, which we'll post on Rap Sucks Radio, RSR Podcast on Facebook. One of those is CBS Local, and the other is the LAist. The players involved were, of course, doing too much, Alex Villanueva, and LA County overall. So the Board of Supervisors in LA County has approved a proposal from the county CEO on Monday. That's the Monday before this. This is being recorded on July 5th, so... that slashes more than 3,200 county positions and likely forces hundreds of layoffs this fall. In a budget revision revised last week, CEO carved out 8% of funding from county departments across the board to make up a $935 million tax revenue shortfall caused by the coronavirus pandemic and subsequent economic crisis. I want to stop right there, Kev, real quick.
Right.
All of my research has shown that this has nothing to do with defund the police. Okay?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct, yeah.
Cool.
But you mentioned it. Yeah, this was something that they realized they had to do, I believe, just because of all the downturn in business, because of,
right,
you know, COVID and the resulting changes.
Right. And we'll get to some of that in a minute. Now, because the... law enforcement, back to the article, because law enforcement takes up so much of the budget, roughly 40% of the county's version of a general fund, the sheriff's department faces the bulk of reductions. Now, keep in mind, they take up about 40%. This has nothing to do with defund the police, okay? So There you go. The bulk of the reductions are now the sheriff's department. It's slated to lose nearly 1,400 positions and faces more than 300 possible layoffs. Now, there's also something that we'll get into concerning that. I feel like so informational right now. Like, I feel good. I feel so supreme. Sheriff Alex Villanueva spoke during the remote budget meeting, arguing that his department was being unfairly targeted and the loss of funding would impact public safety. His quote is, "Crime will predictably increase. We're not exempt to the laws of gravity. People are going to get hurt with this budget. Plain and simple." He also said the board has the ability to fund all of the county government operations and they need to prioritize public safety. But he warned support for the defunding plan, again, not defund the police, right? That's not what this is about. Would result in elimination of four investigative LASD bureaus, including the Special Victims Bureau investigation that investigates physical abuse, sexual abuse, and rape against women and children. All right, Kev. All right, there's more information, but take it away.
Well, my first reaction to seeing this was that it was kind of, and I don't know, this is one thing I'll say.
Okay.
I don't particularly care for this dude, but I also don't know if they took something in a larger statement out of context necessarily, the media.
Sure, sure.
But it seems to have been quoted in several places. And the fact that you would put at the forefront of your reaction that the parts of your organization that investigate the most heinous crimes, SVU, right?
Yep.
Out of the budget, off top. I can't think of any other way to talk about that than it being kind of a chicken shit move.
Is it? Absolutely. It absolutely is. It's
you know what I mean?
It's a trash movie.
Either that means that it's the least important thing that you think of when you think of what your organization is supposed to be taking care of and looking after, or you're trying to scare people.
Right.
Or you're just full of it.
Right.
Right? None of those is good.
So far, all three.
You know what I mean? And so that was my first reaction. There are a bunch of other implications to this, and to your point, you have stressed it very clearly. This had nothing to do with, I believe, and he's made statements before the George Floyd incident happened.
Right, he has.
And these considerations were being discussed before the George Floyd incident happened.
They were.
Now, whether or not, you know, the protests and everything influence the ability of the politicians to make the decisions that they made is up for discussion. But he made that was his argument before any of that happened.
Yeah.
You know, he jumped to that before any of this happened. So yeah, it's kind of whack, man. He's doing way too much.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because so 3,200 are of these positions that are canceled will be or that are they're basically vacant positions. And to my understanding, these are vacant, like truly vacant positions that have not been filled, not positions that are filled that won't be backfilled. They're basically available hiring is now going away for 3,200 positions. 655 layoffs are projected. So 300 of those, of course, are the ones that were just stated in the article will be towards the sheriff's department. And that would reflect various extended portions of the sheriff's department, right? So this kind of hits a little different for me because growing older, I've been able to articulate things that I've kind of always pondered, right? And part of my thing about the police is I'm gonna be a little fair to the police here. And you know, I don't think I'm ever unfair to them, but I'm definitely gonna be a little more fair to them than a lot of people like to be. Part of the reason the police are in this type of position, the position that we're in now, where they're basically more enforcers than they are protectors, you know what I'm saying? Is because we weaponize the police way too much as a society. We really do. Your neighbor won't turn down his music. You call the police and you expect a forceful response. You know what I'm saying? heaven forbid you have a conversation or maybe an argument or whatever, we weaponize them too much. Anything that happens, if you look at all of these Karen and Becky situations, it's weaponizing the police. Hey, if you don't do what I say, what I think you should do, I'm going to call the cops and the cops are going to do something. There are all these moments, and I, of course, don't want to solely blame this on white people. I think we all do it. I think everybody under the sound of my voice and outside of it does this. When they call the police, a lot of times you're calling them for nonsense reasons. You know what I'm saying? And serious crimes often are delayed in response because of this. You know what I'm saying? We do a lot of cat out of the tree moments, but more or less shoot the cat out of the tree moments, right? So I think we weaponize the police a lot, and it leads the police to believe this. If we're not around, everything's going to go crazy. It's going to be chaotic. You know what I'm saying? I've yet to hear that Atlanta burned to the ground, by the way. I just haven't heard it. You know what I'm saying? So I would think that the focus would be on more serious things, and things neighborly disagreements may fall on neighbors. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's a theory. But I think before having to do with this discussion or not, I think that it's actually time for us to stop weaponizing the police so much. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that that's really how we got here, at least from a societal standpoint. You know what I mean?
I totally agree. And the interesting thing about this, and the reason why it's important, again, to differentiate between what this conversation was originally about and what the conversation around defund the police is.
Right.
And they're not separate necessarily, but that they are different conversations is that they are two different conversations. This was about the fact that, hey, everyone in this county community, right, every department has to tighten their belt.
Yep.
So let's reckon with that, which is really just this is going to be a painful conversation overall for everybody. You know, this really has nothing to do particularly with any one department. So that's kind of where I, because just like you said, I want to be... We've spent the last two or three episodes talking about police, right?
Right.
And I don't think anything I've said has changed.
Not at all.
But we sort of discussed the validity of people's anger around the reckless acts of certain law enforcement officials, certain officers. But these things have gone on for decades upon decades. So what I was trying to do in this situation is sort of break this down as practically as possible into what we know and what we don't know.
Right. Yes.
So what we know is that LA Sheriff's Department is the largest sheriff's department in the United States, I believe. There's 18,000 employees, which I think spans across administrative as well as the officers that are actually on the street.
Sure.
They provide services to 153 unincorporated communities and 42 cities in this area. So it's a huge job, right? They provide security services to the Superior Court, security on certain mass transit, housing and transport of incarcerated people, to the court system and back and so forth, and between different facilities, and just a number of different public spaces around the county, which is a massive county.
Yep.
So it's to be in charge of that is a big job, period.
Yeah.
So if we, let's put some financial context around this. In a recent statement by Alex Villanueva, and this is before any of this happened, he argued in a previous incarnation of the budget, the previous incarnation, what was approved was $3.5 billion.
Right.
Which I can say with some emphasis and make it sound like a big number. It is a big number. His contention was that was, and I quote here, quote, a staggering $400 million short of the $3.9 billion budget that was needed to run, what he felt was needed to run his department the way he felt it needed to be run.
Right.
Okay. Let's hold that there. 3.9 is a big number as well. So regardless of whether we agree with whether that's valid or necessary, 3.9 or 3.5 billion, what we are talking about when we talk about the reduction that the county approved or the county decided upon based on the impacts of coronavirus and everything that everybody had to deal with, that what I think was about $145 million,
mm-hmm.
was a little over 4%, which, if you look at it, is objectively lower than the percentage reduction to many of the other county departments who get whose budgets are far smaller. And subjectively, the reduction was necessitated because of the coronavirus, right?
Right.
And the careless inaction of the president. Then many of the people, by the way, who support law enforcement and the law enforcement community, you know, they also support this guy, right?
Sure.
And so now you're arguing about something that your guy kind of messed up.
Yep.
Okay. So let's get into, okay, well, is 3.9 or 3.5 even the right number, right?
Right.
Because that's always based on whatever they've, I assume, just like any other organization, that budget is based on whatever they had in the past, right?
Right.
And I'm not an expert in county government or law enforcement, you know, budget balancing, but let's compare it to a business. Something unexpected has happened, and it required everyone in the company to tighten their belts, mm-hmm. which sucks. But you got to be, in some level, you got to be a team player, right?
Sure.
So that the company, the county can live to another day, right? Period.
Yep.
And so if you're in a regular business, it's like if the flashy, the fancy sales guy, he starts to act like no one should touch his budget because he says he's the one who brings in all the money, and without him, you wouldn't have a company, right? You wouldn't have jobs.
Yeah.
But all the other people at the company who are in R&D and product development and manufacturing and PR and marketing and accounting and supply chain, and they all look at this guy like the a-hole that he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because without them, the customer will just, one, there's no product, and two, the customer just sees a company that is not providing the service that the company promised to provide, right?
Sure.
They're not living up to whatever they told the customer they were going to give them. And the customer is always right. And if the customer doesn't get what they want, they're going to ask to speak with the manager. And if there's anything that the last couple months have shown us, is that if anyone deserves to have Karen ask to speak to the manager, it's law enforcement.
Right. Seriously. Seriously.
So, yeah. I mean, these supporters of, you know, the Thin Blue Line people and the Blue Lives Matter people, like, I don't love it. I don't talk openly, but I don't talk in an openly negative way about it, other than to say that, like, there's a lot of cops that are really crazy, right?
Yeah, we talked about them last week.
Right.
Yeah.
That's about as out there as I'll probably get.
Sure.
But what I don't like is the thought and the understanding, and it might be partially assumption and partially based on just practical experience, that those supporters of that ideology are the same people that look at single mothers living check to check, and they say, well, like, I guess you're just going to have to figure it out.
I mean, well,
what, you know, yeah. I know you're, you know, thank you for your service. You're a first responder. You're a nurse. You're, you know, you're working at a grocery store, but you know what? I'm sorry. You're just going to have to figure it out. You didn't go to college. What are you going to do?
Right.
But the second that they're placed in a position where they have to think critically about their, you know, business, quote unquote business, how that business can most efficiently and effectively interact with their customers, you know, which are their constituents, their community members, they start immediately. It's not even, there's not even a delay. There's not an attempt to try. They just start complaining about not having the financial resources,
right,
to do the job effectively, right?
Right.
Yeah. But they're going to have to figure it out.
Like, just like the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Just like every other department. You
know, like, who... Exactly. Who in any... Show me one person, whether it's a mom-and-pop business or an individual sole proprietor or a Fortune 500 company, whether you are CEO or whether you are in the supply room, anywhere in between, I don't care. My point is, name one person who has all the resources they need to do the job that they feel like they're supposed to be doing. There's no one.
Nope.
But this dude gets out there and he starts complaining about it the second. and it's not just he complains. I get it. You know, advocate for your organization. Make your people feel that you are their champion. That's the job. Good. Do it. But don't make women feel like it's okay for them to get raped.
Like that is automatically going to happen. It's extortion. That's extortion. Like I don't even know where in a person's mind they don't see this as horrible. Like, listen, his opinion that crime will go up was enough. That was enough to specify is like, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? Right. So I just want to note that the Care First budget, a budget that was proposed by Justice LA Coalition, it was a budget proposed to shrink funding to the criminal justice system and divert that money to youth programs, behavioral health and treatment, and permanent supportive housing, right? Mm-hmm. It was basically left out of this as well. You know what I'm saying? So not only is your department cut, Mr. Villanueva, but also, like, the community support community support programs are being cut. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm trying to read to make sure that I got the name of it right. Identified. They just basically have said it's not enough. The alternative to incarcerations work group. So, these are basically groups that are put together that receive a budget to go ahead and try to take preventative measures. It's the whole conversation about defund. Now, remember, this whole thing's not about defund the police. This conversation piece, though, is kind of showing you that these efforts have gone on for quite a while to just take a little bit of funding away and put it towards something that may prevent crime. If you have more educated society, you tend to have less crime, especially less violent crime. That's the thing to note. So anyhow, it wasn't even considered. This budget did nothing for that either. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, it was, yeah, this, as far as I could tell, the budget was approached with the mindset that it was going to suck for everyone. Right.
Right.
His reaction, and I don't know what the reactions were of any of the other organizations that whose budget were reduced.
Probably
was
somewhat near the same, minus the threat. But go ahead.
There's probably a certain amount of angst that they all went through, but I don't think any of them, you know, issued a press release that said, "Well, people are going to get raped because of what you did."
I mean,
but what happens then is that he then provides the natural conversation starter,
right?
If there wasn't already a larger conversation starter about what defund the police actually means. I mean, what if we spent more money on arts education in schools, and those schools turned out more students that saw their place in the world? It, you know, not just their place in Los Angeles or in the city that they come from, but their place in the world in a more impactful way. It doesn't mean they're going to become artists, right?
Right.
But just saw. You, through the arts, they saw, okay, I've found something that I love, and I see how that fits into how other people like me see their place in the world. So now I'm better able to contextualize my place in the world.
Right.
What if we spent more money on STEM education, right? And turned out more students who saw their role in improving the world we live in, like mechanically or medically or technologically. You know, rather than looking at those solutions and those fields as you know, China's job or some other country's job, right?
Right.
If we spent more money helping people prevent chronic health conditions so that our fellow citizens do not face another barrier to the so-called American dream. You know what I mean?
Right.
And those are the things that, at its root, to me at least, that's what a lot of what defund the police ends up speaking toward. And the words defund the police are just really the thing to get your attention. Because I ask my daughter, you know, we're homeschooling. I ask my daughter all the time, every day just about, if she wants to be the kind of person, I told her there are two kind of people. There's a kind of person who learns by being a good listener. And there's the kind of person who learns by missing out on things. Right?
Right.
And she stumbles sometimes in this choice because she's a kid, right? But she always knows that being a good listener is the correct answer, right?
Right. It's either that or be
also,
like Uncle Trek.
It's also, right, it's also the most efficient, it's the least painful way to learn, right?
Right.
America is a relatively young country, and we act immaturely in that same way. We've missed out on investing in education. Not just educating, you know, in the basics, but we've minimized it as a painful necessity somehow. Yeah. For some reason. I don't know why. So we've missed out on educating every part of our children's brains from an early age, right? Because some kids will learn from rote math and reading, but others are going to discover and better understand math and reading from music,
right,
or coding, right? Right.
Yep.
And it's not it's the financial incentive is there to support those things, right?
Sure.
But instead of giving our children all those tools, as many tools as possible to succeed, we've made higher education like a sweepstakes, right? That they have to pay to enter. And then they end up playing catch up for years just to pay off the debt of that higher education, yep, right? We've also missed out on feeding all of our children in a more healthy way.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not a healthy guy. You know, I'm not talking about seriously healthy eating. I'm just talking about basic nutrition, right?
Yeah.
To keep them from becoming, you know, afflicted with just malnutrition or diabetes, you know, at an early age, right? And then we go ahead and we price the cures for those afflictions at astronomically out of reach levels, right? So that they have to play catch up for the rest of their lives.
Right. Right.
And yep. then when it comes to this guy, he should be concerned with all of that. Honestly, we all should be, right? But we've also missed out on learning that criminal punishment that just discriminates based on race and then creates a pathway into that same system all over again,
yep,
without any kind of equitable resolution. It magnifies this perceived need for these $3.9 billion budgets. $3.9 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And then we can look at that number and not understand what that number means and say, oh, well, they need that.
Yeah.
Because there's so many bad people out there.
Right.
If you're going to bring these complaints, you have to come to the table with solutions. And this dude, literally, he makes these statements. He says, you know, that's crazy. I can't believe you're cutting that. You already shorted us $400 million. And then he says, well, what we should do is we should eliminate the Parks Bureau and let the sheriffs take care of that. And it's going to save $32 million. And then we're going to get rid of the Community Partnerships Bureau and save another $30 million and drop 10 positions at the Homeless Outreach Services Team,
which I'm sure they're not needed.
And we're going to save, $1.4 million. So he's come to the table for something that is $3.5 billion annually and said, I am telling you right now, I can already figure out how to save you, you know, $65 million. Okay. Come on, man. Come on, you know.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's also a matter of just a societal thing. It's a contents under pressure thing. You know what I'm saying? you continue to put everything you name continues to put the people living in a city under extreme duress. You know what I'm saying? The traffic,
yeah.
The noise, the lack of education, the lack of after school programs, the lack of art education, the community decay, the brutality, the excessive force in the police system, the just unhealthy relationship between the citizens and the politicians. It's all content's under pressure, man. People are reacting to it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. Some people can function on a day-to-day basis. Some people turn to different methods to function. Like, I don't know how it's so hard. I guess it's so hard for me to understand the lack of compassion that society has, and then to throw out a threat in a sense. And look, I like you said earlier, his context is unclear, but just his track record and including this, it's like, dude, here you go. So society is under a threat now, based on what's going to happen if you're not in the street. Like, shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't think of any better way to just be quiet, dude. No, nobody, whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? All your proposed right. cuts and nonsense, just be quiet. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. So.
Yeah, and it's also worth mentioning, by the way, I think I'm gonna shoot a clip to you, or I'm gonna post the link of an interview that he did right after he got elected.
Uh-huh.
And if I had read that article or interview at any point in time, I would have said, hey, this is a guy that I might vote for, because he was talking about body cams.
I remember
he still hasn't gotten all the way together. He was talking about full transparency of the department.
Yep.
Which has now evolved 2 years later into him not showing up for subpoenas that the community oversight board has issued to talk about transparency. He doesn't show up.
Right.
And then they've also asked, I think a number of different, not just community organizations, but press has asked for document releases about specific officer complaints or just straight up killings that have happened at the hands of officers, just to figure out what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not the officers need to be held to a certain level of account. They haven't given up any of that information.
Nope.
He's returned
some of his more, returned his homeboys to the department that he had no business returning. He's, openly lied about doing that and then did it anyway. Like, he's...
And what's ridiculous. Becoming clear is that this seems to be happening at, it's not just him. I mean, whether it be police departments or sheriff's departments around this country, this seems to be the way it's done, right?
Yep.
To the extent that you think you've listened to it and you're like, nah, that can't be, like, are you serious? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like to really realize how much police chiefs and all these people in charge don't exactly have the kind of power that you would think a chief is supposed to have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So to at least think critically about these things is something that we certainly have to do. And to do what many people who are out in the streets are doing, which is saying, hey, man, you got to at least start again.
Yeah. Well, it's, and look, guys, all this conversation, sheriffs are elected. So... You know what to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But let's move on to the next topic, because I want to cover this before we move, before we get out of here real quick. So your title for this topic real quick was Washington Low-Key Slave Masters is a clunky team name.
Yo, Washington, that'd be a hell of a jersey, though.
It would be a heck of a pretty long jersey. Yeah, you're right.
I estimate that the mascot would look something like a mascot from Philly. Take your pick, whoever.
Pick anyone. I would say that you'd have to bring back the Mitchell and Ness style just to fit the wording on that one. But Washington owner Dan Snyder announces that the team will review the nickname. The source of this is Yahoo Sports. I have to note this in all caps. I hate. Yahoo Sports. Okay? Loathe it. If you are a writer or contributor or editor or simply a intern at Yahoo Sports, I hate what you do for a living entirely. Okay? You. All right. The players involved are NFL, the Washington, currently the Redskins, and Dan Snyder. In a move that's long past overdue, Kev, Washington Redskins owner Dan Snyder announced Friday the team will undergo a thorough review of the team's name. Now, mind you, this is the same man that tweeted in all caps that they will never change the name.
Never.
Never. The team said it has been discussed internally to change the name with the league in recents. Snyder said in a statement, this process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also input from our alumni, the organization, sponsors, and the National Football League, and the local community is proud to represent, it's proud to represent on and off the field. The head coach spoke up, but his quote is whatever, so I'm not even going to read it. So shout out to him for having something to say. But so Kev, why do you think this all happened? You think he just had a change of heart, or what do you think? I'm gonna tell the audience.
Man, I don't know. Maybe it was a real like this is your life kind of moment.
Christmas. What is it?
You know, like the ghost of Christmas past came and showed him that he was being a dummy.
Well, in an Ebenezer Scrooge type fashion, the team's biggest financial partners signaled that they wanted the name change. FedEx, which owns the naming rights to the team stadium, recently revealed it informed the team that it wanted to see a new name on the FedEx field, at the FedEx field.
You know, that might be it. That might be it.
That might be it. And then Nike, the league's official uniform supplier, did more showing than telling when it wiped the team's products from its online store. So,
yeah, I've heard of Nike.
I've heard of Nike too. It's, you know, just a small brand. No big deal.
Right.
Right? Right. There are two points of discussion here. This is cut and dry. Hopefully they change the team name and logo and get it over with. All right. Redskins is technically an incredibly offensive pejorative, which I think is a double. I think I just said the same thing twice. Anyway, it's a pejorative. towards Native Americans, and people have argued, but it's been cool to say it in other occasions. No, listen, it's a pejorative, so knock it off. And so let's get it out of here, period. Let's get it out of here. It's just that simple. Now, the other conversation I want to have is about symbolism here, though, because this is happening quite a bit, and there are memes going around. I think some of them are to some level of accuracy. They're like, yo, you know, you're changing names of this and changing names of that, and all we actually do is correct the police. And I think that's funny, but I think it's... I do also want to see the symbolism change. I think it's important, and I may be in the minority here, but I think it's extremely important to remove a lot of these symbols like Aunt Jemima, like Uncle Ben, like the Redskins logo, like a Redskins name and logo. I think it's actually important in our society to remove these things. I really do. And I know other people are saying, well, there are more important things, but this isn't the Michael Jackson Can You Feel It, the Jackson 5 Can You Feel It video, where you get to spread all the whatever it was, fairy dust across the land and change. These decisions are being made in separate rooms. You see what I'm saying? So the Aunt Jemima decision does not have anything to do with the defund the police decision. It's not like the police department went over to Pepsi and said, hey, you got to make this change so we don't have to have the defund conversation. These are all being had in separate rooms. And I think the fact that these companies are coming together in part, at least the ones that have already, to change the symbolism, I think that's actually very important. I think visual symbols are extremely important to young people. Now, people my age, man, we've seen it already. We've already either bought and sold these symbols and these ideals. So we might be where we are. But for the younger people growing up, it'll be awesome to grow up without these symbols around to be able to like, oh, wow, there's a straight slave on my oatmeal. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. So I think it's, or, you know, there's a having the conflict of wanting, if you're a Redskins fan, having the conflict of wanting to watch your team. It's a team that you enjoy watching since you were a child, but then recognizing the pejorative that's on the jersey. Like, you know, like, just, let's just kill it. I think it's great for society to kill it. Let's kill it. Let's get it all out. Kill it all. and start from, you know, non-disrespectful to anyone. I don't care, black, don't matter to me, black, native, Asian, you know what I'm saying? Get it all out.
Yeah.
Get all of it out. Let's throw it all in the trash.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Cancel Lucky Charms. I don't care.
I don't care. I'm with it. Cancel Lucky Charms. Let's do it. Change the name.
That's and because they're all, that's always the reaction, right? It's well, what's next? Are you going to make the Atlanta Braves change their name? Yeah, probably.
Maybe.
If nothing else, maybe just if they do the tomahawk in the stadium, it's just open season. If you knock that person, don't kill him. Don't hit him with a blunt object.
It's hard
but
to say.
But if you knock
him
out
game
with your bare hands, hey, it's, you know, it's fair. It's fair game. Well,
but I'm trying to figure out, okay, let me ask you a couple questions. Just real quick questions. I just, okay. Because I'm curious. Like, I really don't know. Let's say you change the name of Washington's football team today. Yep. Just today it happened, right?
Yep.
When the season opens, are they able to catch the football and still throw it? Is the quarterback still, is it still a, you know, do the players leave? Like, do you have to give up a certain amount of players? What happens? Yeah. What fans are so, what fans are so adamant that they will not ever watch your team again? If you've gotten 13 letters like that or 100, screw those 100 people. You've lost 100 fans for so many different reasons. Just stop now. You know what I'm saying?
Those are the guys that brought their own beer.
Yeah, exactly. Just stop. It's like, it's so weird just to watch people go through this response. Like, society is changing and I don't know what I'm going to do with it because it's not the same as it was when I was. It's not the same.
Yeah,
so whatever.
No kidding.
So who cares?
Yeah, what's next? Where's the limit? What are we going to change next? Who cares? We're going to change it all. Who cares?
All
think about all the things that we look at now from just 40 years ago. And I mean, there are product mascots and iconography that is so ridiculously racist, right? We look at it and we're like, I can't believe we ever did that.
Yeah.
How do you think our children are going to look at this?
If you listen,
right? It's like, why don't you just clean it up? Fix it. You're not even fixing it. You're just changing the face. You're giving it a facelift. And that's the conversation around, well, you know, you're doing all these things, and that's not what we asked for. We asked for you to fix the police. Yes.
Yes.
But do what you can.
Do all the other stuff too. This ain't that big of a deal. Do this too.
Yeah. Do the whole job.
Police.
That's what my whole thing is, don't half-ass it. Do the whole job.
Plus, I love y'all. I love everybody. I love all y'all that had that opinion. But the police ain't got nothing to do with this. So let them fix
Sure.
So who cares?
Sure.
Like, let them fix it.
Yeah, they got
it.
Enough to deal with.
Yeah. Let them fix that. And then the defund and reallocation and all of that, we'll continue to scream for this. But if companies are going to jump on board and kill the symbolism, and some are discussing fixing their hiring practices and looking at the racial bias within their hiring. Like, come on. Let's do it. Let's fix all of it. Let's go. Let's smash everything and let's fix it. All of it. You know what I'm saying? Who cares?
All of it.
Who cares? What do you have to waste? I used to love Bugs Bunny. I watched that. I watched old clips years back and was like, whoa. Whoa, I used to watch this. Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? You shoot Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck in the face. Like, and he just turned into a big lip character that says Mammy. Like, come on, man. I used to watch that every day. Like, they had to change that. Come on. It's not that big of a deal. Just get over it. Get over yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, if you're watching if you're binging a series on Hulu and all of a sudden you can't follow the storyline because the blackface episode is no longer available. That was not a series that you needed to be watching.
Right, exactly. You're out.
That storyline was not quite as complex or deep as perhaps it could have been.
Or okay, let me tell you a really funny one. Because we're also tearing down statues and doing things of that nature, which, yes, do it all. Now, a person online, because I'm not on Facebook as much. This is like a response to all my Facebook conversations. Is basically Rap Sucks Radio. I'm just like wrapping it up. You want to hear what I have to say about this? Listen to the show. I'll respond to your post in a coy way on the show. a guy said, well, why don't they go to the British Museum and tear down all the stuff in there since a lot of that stuff is racist and old, right? And I said, yeah, put these monuments in a museum. That's fine. Put them in a museum. This is Civil War history. This is what happened. You know what I'm saying? They have different things in museums.
Civil War history and there is Jim Crow history.
Jim Crow history. Let's make it all history. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
Right.
There's German.
And also while you're at it, since you're at the British Museum, why don't you go to the British Museum and return all the stuff they stole from other countries?
Boom. Take it all and return it. That was the other point. Like, yeah, well, if anything, you could just return that stuff. You don't have to destroy any of it. Give it back, colonizers. Give it back. So, at the end of the day, burn it all down. All of it. You know what I'm saying? Purge it with fire. Like, get rid of it. Because all of it's got to go. You know what I'm saying? If we wake up in the morning and society looks that much better visually, symbolically, and legally, and visually, like, you know, neighborhood decay, things of that nature are changing, then we woke up in a better, we woke up better than we were before. So change all of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 100%.
Period. Anyway. All right, man. I think we've campaigned for office long enough. So.
Yes, we are not running.
Not at all. I'm running. I'm not at all
going to
ever do it.
Don't be stupid.
Never, ever run for
office.
Yo, so yeah. Check it out, y'all. This has been Rap Sucks Radio. I am your homeboy, Trek Life, and that is your fam, Kev Sakota.
Eric B for president.
We didn't even talk about Kanye. And it's not going to happen.
I can't believe you said his name.
It's, yeah. I'm not even.
Nope.
Woosa. Catch us on rapsucksradio.com or any of your favorite podcasting platforms, with the random exception of Pandora. And please, if you have a Roku or a Fire Stick or Fire TV, download the BTSN channel, pass, app, whatever it's called on those, you know, devices.
That is BTSN.
Yes.
BTSN as in Behind the Scenes Network.
Behind the Scenes Network. And you can watch this episode and past episodes. I think we're like, what, 7 episodes in on the show? 7 or 8? So, yeah. Catch us on Behind the Scenes Network, BTSN, on your Roku, Fire Stick, or Fire TV. We are out of here like last year, and on the count of 3, we say peace. 1, 2, 3. Peace.
Peace.
And we out, y'all. Yeah.
Yep.